So tonight we seek wisdom. We seek understanding. That you might grant us an entrance into the perspective of the Spirit, the present revelation position, that we may know how to take our journey. We may know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away, and when to run. Grant us grace abundant. Grant us grace abundant. In the name of Jesus. Let that mighty rushing wind that descended on the day of Pentecost, that is blowing across the nations of the world, let that wind send a vibration into our hearts today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. You may be seated. You are welcome into the house of God. Hallelujah. Now, we will do Bible study for 25 minutes, okay? Oh, my. Hallelujah. We'll do Bible study for 25 minutes. When we are done with the Bible study for 25 minutes, we'll ask God to take us into the essence of that which is communicated. Hallelujah. In the spirit realm, you don't need to utter a word to communicate. You don't need utterance for communication. The fundamental reason for utterance, as we see in God's example in the book of Genesis, is for creation. If God will have to speak, if there's utterance attached to an action, an activity of God, then there's an intention to create. Hallelujah. Now, so there is a disparity between that which is obtainable in God and that which is customary in the natural life of man. And we need to upgrade so that we can attain to our fullest potential. Turn with me quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to follow the protocol as revealed by the Holy Spirit tonight. There's a protocol for this meeting, protocol for this service, a protocol for tomorrow. And we'll be diligent to follow it as prescribed. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. There's a protocol. No, you are missing it. Reduce that volume. There's a protocol. You can raise it after 25 minutes. Hallelujah. There is a burden on the heart of God. I am really deficient this evening in translating that burden. Beyond my limitations today, I trust that the Holy Spirit will take you on a journey that is not limited by my infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll do a reading from verse 6 to verse 10. And I'd like us to follow the progression of revelation as outlined by the apostle. Now, the reason for the burden, I will try to explain before we begin to unravel the burden. If you are still with me, say amen. Verse 6 says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Hallelujah. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? And if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except he utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, but none of them is without signification. Let me stop there. Now, there were additional insights that Paul granted us when he was confronted with the burden of explaining the need for a certain kind of order to be realized in the house of God. Such that if someone that is spiritually unlearned comes into our congregation, we are Pentecostals. We utter the language of angels by the utterance of granted us through His Spirit. And if there is a novice that comes into our midst, such an one that has no knowledge of what we are doing, and we utter tongues, just tongues, he'll be confused. He will feel that we are under an influence that is negative. And so because of that, Paul tried through his teaching to establish some form of order. So the book of 1 Corinthians was written to people that were having spiritual experiences, but they did not have the perfecting touch of order to give essence, to give perspective to the things that they were doing. So there were a lot of things that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, under the auspices of the Spirit of wisdom, to bring the church to that point where she can function within the scope of order, so that the beauty of the manifestations of God could be seen and could be experienced. Hallelujah. Now, so he spoke a lot of stuff, but in the scripture that is captured for emphasis sake, the subject that he was trying to bring balance and order to had to do with the speaking in tongues in a public congregation, a public set. All right? So he was trying to bring some order to the operation of that dimension of God, so that the outlook of our activity will not be discredited. Are you still with me? Have you ever had a neighbor before, someone maybe on campus or a roommate, and he just wake up and shout, and he claims to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost? Now, you see, for we that are in the house, we can understand that there's such a move of God. But if you are doing that in the market, doing that in the lecture room, the attention of the psychiatrist will be come. And so Paul, in order for our spiritual activities not to be discredited, he comes with wisdom, being matured in the ways of Christ, to set in order the needed, the much needed balance is to create a buffer so that we will be relevant to the people that are unlearned about our ways. Is that clear? Now, that was what he was dealing with. But my emphasis is not the context. My emphasis is actually based upon the things he opened in his attempt to strike balance in this matter. Are you still with me? First of all, he likened utterance to the sound made by a musical instrument. You are already, take that, strike something there. Now, I want you to follow the protocol. I said there's a ready-made pattern for this meeting. I don't know how much time we have. In fact, we are short on time. We are really short on time. I was doing my best to come early today, but I came late this morning. We are short on time. But the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Strike something there. Now, according to Paul, he was trying to illustrate utterance, sound. And he said that every sound that is made, first of all, is distinct. It is peculiar. Every chord, every note that you strike is peculiar in itself. And there is no such sound that exists without its significance. It means every utterance has a significance. Now, in the natural realm, we talk for nothing. That is, you just talk. You just wake up and shout, and you talk for nothing. But Paul is giving us some insight that if by any means a chord is struck, a sound is made. Because in the real context where sound operates as a regulator, every distinct note is significant. And you know, I know you may not know what I mean by that. There were some times in battle. That's why when you go to the military barracks, there is something called a bugle. Not all communication is in words, my friend. One of the things, you know, we did NYS in Kano, in the peak of the cold, and you are just there trying to roll, and suddenly the bugle goes. Now, you may like the melody, but it is not the melody that is the essence of that communication. The communication is recommending, is ordering, is summoning. It's a summoning sound. So in a place, an environment that is regulated by sound, every chord that is struck is significant, and it points, it actually requires a response that is due to the call of such a sound. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you some time. Check if your phone is on and switch it off. Let me give you time. We have not the flight. We can still stop it at this point to come into order. You know, since the GSM phone was invented and it prospered in Nigeria, the voices of heaven have been hindered greatly. But the Lord will help us, because we are actually in need of help. When we checked the financial year of the telecom companies, the turnover they made was higher than that of the banks. It means that our people have found a new God. It's a God of talk. Now we'll get there. But remember, there is no sound that is made without what? Significance. So in the spirit realm, sound is not made for free. There is an intention that is behind it. There is a wisdom that is using it. There is a response that is expected. You get that? Now let's look again at the text. build perspective. Amen. He used a lot of instruments as examples, the harp and the pipe. What is the difference between the harp and the pipe? In elementary music, we learn that music is a combination of wind and string instruments. See, the pipe happens to be a wind instrument. Do you have any wind instrument? Or all are string? Yeah, okay, drum is a wind instrument. Where's strike that one now. Now, you see, there is a difference between a string instrument and a wind instrument. The pipe is a wind instrument. The harp is a string instrument. But even though they operate on different principles, they have the capacity to make sound. So you can now understand how Lucifer was created. The Bible says that in the day that he was fabricated, the tabrets and the pipes were forged into his framework. He was a combination of wind and string instruments. His movement, his motion, his reflexes were coordinated in such a way that they gave sound to the instruments that he bore on his frame. Let us stop there. We'll digress. Okay. Just remain. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? So there is significance with sound. Significance with utterance. And the truth of the matter is this. I don't know if we can go this deep. In my current studies of scripture, I've been on the book of Revelation. And I stumbled on some scriptures that I've even quoted before, memorized. Only God knows truth. Your human intellect is too weak to handle sacred and holy things. Hallelujah. You know, those days they said, stay in the word. So I felt what it meant was to, because I could cram a lot. So I just started cramming the thing. Crammed it. And I used to recite the Bible like. Then when I now stopped that, it took 10 years for me to be understanding some of the things I recited. So the farthest distance is not from east to west. It's a journey from your mind to your heart. Many people never get there. It's only, hallelujah, it's like the journey from the womb outside. Some people come forth still bent. It's a long journey. Oh, you don't know those contractions that the woman goes through. You are calling. Okay. Okay. You think it's just there? We are looking at it with ultrasound. No, it's not just there. In fact, if you use another method to bring the child out, for you, it will take months. That month is the journey. Before you become normal again, it will take like 6 months. And there are tendencies, possibilities that if something touches the place, it will increase the time. So, it's a journey that of you went to call something 6 months. Okay, so you're understanding now. We don't only see distance in length. There's also distance in dimension. And that one is not measurable by any human instrument. Just like the spirit realm is here now. But it may not be accessible because it rests in a different dimension. Requires a different protocol to access its realities. To draw from its bounty. Being strong in God is not talk. We all have that. The Lord calls for something deeper.
He calls for discernment, for us to understand the significance of sound. Because no sound exists anywhere without significance. Hallelujah.
When the women wing told me that I'll be ministering and suggested that I should go and pray and find out what God is saying to women,
I realized that I may not have preached in any women convention.
I preached to women before, but not in a convention. So it became something that I had to search the realm of the Spirit to find out what God was really saying, and some insight began to come. Now, the reason why we need to understand the significance of sound is because in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 13, still Bible study, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13, I don't have time to press that scripture. We are not done with that scripture. We are not half done with that scripture. We are not half done with it. But the Lord will give you understanding. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression." It was Adam was not deceived. It was the woman that was what? And I'm not by any means trying to be gender insensitive. No, far from intellectualism and sociology. The Bible says that it was the woman that was deceived. It was not Adam. Adam was in rebellion. Adam knew that that was not... The devil's tricks did not cast any spell on Adam. He was awake and aware. So, if Adam were the subject matter of this convention, was a men convention, would have put Adam on the spotlight to analyze his ailments. Hallelujah. But you see, Adam is not the issue now. See. Eve was what deceived. It means that the devil's tricks actually succeeded with Eve. And the meaning of that is that she lacked capacity and discernment to decipher the significance of sound. And even till today, it's easier for that infirmity to be associated with women. And women are more prone to deception than men are. The book of Genesis opens up as a critical piece. It opens up as something that is so critical, and I'd like us to treat it as such. Can you turn with me quickly? Oh, Jesus. Now, hallelujah. If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right. We'll do some classwork now. So maybe we'll move to Genesis chapter 1 or Genesis 2. Then we'll touch Romans. Then we'll do some classwork. I'd like you to use all the intellectual capacity that you can muster to bring out the dimensions, the differences, and the dynamics. Then let's put it together. Let's see what we are going to get from that. So, Genesis chapter 2. So,
The purpose of the emphasis is because God is saying in the heavens, okay, touch him. When I'm done with 25 minutes, you can. The purpose for the emphasis is that God is saying that his daughters are displaced. There's a shipwreck of things because his daughters do not have the capacity to discern the significance of movements and sounds in the spirit realm. So there's a chaotic situation that he blames upon the daughters. We are going to go into details. I just gave you a summary. All right, let's journey now. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. This looks like a summary to me. If you follow the sequence and the progression of that which was obtainable in the book of Genesis chapter 1, there's a sequence of creation. Sequence of creation. And you see, the order in which the things were created is something worthy of note. But our emphasis is not creation. But there's a very sweet order of implementation of heavenly policy that God adopted in birthing that which was his grand plan. And at this point, it is critical for us to even ask, why did the great one himself, living in a circle of unbroken bond of love in the Godhead, why did he create? If we see the sequence in the administration of divine policy, there is a beauty, there is a pattern that is easily recognizable. But in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, a summary is drawn. Thus, in like manner were the heavens and the earth created, and the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested. And on the seventh day, from all his work which he had made. Jump with me to verse 4. Verse 4 looks somewhat controversial. The issues, the complications are beginning to gradually arise. Some form of controversy is coming into the matter. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, wait, what's this now? I think that Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 is a wrapping up verse, putting a stamp or a full stop on the account that was told about creation. Now, what else are we being drawn to in verse 4? Meanwhile, I'm afraid of one word that is used there. Have you seen that word? Did you notice a strange word there? What word is that? Now, why? What is that word doing there? Well, for sake of emphasis, you know, it means there's a linguistic barricade that we need to confront at that point. There are many ways of deciphering, especially when the Holy Spirit has an emphasis he wants to draw. There are many ways and many perspectives from whence we can look upon Scripture. But in order for us to unravel the depth of Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, we must yield to the linguistic approach to understand all the meanings of the word used for generation in the original language. Then maybe we might have a clue to the scope and the gravity of things that were being dealt with here. Meanwhile, there is also something very contradictory that we see. Did you see the contradiction? Now, the Lord will have to wash our eyes with eye salve so that we can see.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Who is seeing something there? They! Your eyes have been washed. Hallelujah. As far as this account is concerned, the heavens and the earth were created not differently, separately, and coupled in modular form. You know, the Chinese have boasted that if Nigeria says she doesn't have functional refineries that are configured to give off more of the desired products, they should come to China, that they can make a refinery in 6 months, build the refinery in 6 months. Now, what they'll do is they'll build it in modular form, dismantle it into spare parts, and ship it down, and just come here and boom, boom, and it will take 6 months for them to couple it, and a refinery is functional. Now, there is no modular approach in this matter. It's not as if the broke it. God broke some things to spare parts and then finished coupling heaven and then now started. No, they were done simultaneously. And I have to tell you why that emphasis is required. Jesus, are we still here?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I have to tell you why that emphasis was required. Why God had to create the heaven and earth simultaneously. Have you ever read your Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians? When Paul spoke about a man that was caught up into the third heaven? I've heard that before. That is to say, now there are three layers of heaven. And that is what is mirrored by our tripartite nature, being body, soul, and spirit. You are with me now. You have come from your journeys. I've been testing the ground. You were far. Just like the woman pushes in childbirth, I've been pushing, laboring. Hallelujah. So that is, it is because of that design pattern that we have this tripartite nature of being spirit, soul, and body. Now, let me press it a little so that you know that that is the case. You see, God decided to operate in such a way that we cannot see Him or touch Him with our senses. I don't know why He chose that. So have you ever heard somebody say, I was in a situation, and then the person was in a situation and say, where is God? The reason why the person doesn't notice that God is there is because the person can't feel God with his senses. The person can't even have an emotional perspective about the presence of God, because you don't, that is not how he's contacted. It's not on the strength and on the ground of emotions. Meanwhile, emotions are the most deceptive faculty that we have. Because when you come into marriage, for instance, it's predicated on the ground of covenant. And the philosophy of that covenant is called agape. It's unconditional. It's one of the things that men do not know. Alright? So you now see there sometimes the emotion will gallop like a contour. In fact, sometimes it's not there at all. But covenant is deeper than feeling. So you have to keep pace, even if you don't feel like. And many of these young damsels here, that's not their perspective. The perspective that they are sustained is a perspective of running on the beach, on Sun City Beach, with a candlelight in the night. And your emotion, your imagination is an engine. Any posture you take, the imagination will help you to amplify it. Because by design, the dimensions that you traffic and you contact with your spirit are supposed to be amplified and enlarged in your soul capacity. You understand what I'm talking about? So when you hear somebody say, magnify the Lord with me, what he's saying is that he has encountered God in his spirit And then his soul is trying to give a magnification, give an amplification of that contact that he made. So the soul is wired with all the equipment required to amplify anything that rests upon it. So very strange and illusionary ambitions about Sun City Beach are created in the mind, and that becomes our perspective and our definition of love. Jesus. Meanwhile, the great one says, if ye love me, keep what? My commandment. That goes beyond whether you feel. That's covenant. That is unconditional. And we are not that deep. We float on the surface. Those days, my wife's waist was very slim. I liked that waist that time. And I told her, I said, our problem will start when this dimension is compromised. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't have any problem until they said in the embassy that we should bring marriage picture. Then I saw how my wife's waist was before. Then I went back. I said, okay, we have to do some work now. Work out. You know what you call work out? I saw that. We actually had a parameter. The truth is that the waist and the size will increase. The delicate balance will be compromised. But there's something called covenant. That's why we don't admit unbelievers into marriage with believers. Because they don't know that covenant. That covenant only exists in Christ Jesus. And some people that have decided to experiment, because if you insist, it's your life. We will even join you with joy. But the point is this. That journey you are going, your emotions can't keep you. Something deeper than it must be in its foundation. You will fight wars because of that union. You will strive because of that union. The whole class, in fact, one of our friends wanted to marry, so the father now said, cool down with this, your zeal. Your zeal is much. You have to visit the entire clan, and they are spread across two states, Delta State and Edo State. By the time he went around, the lady he wanted to marry started suffering from epilepsy. You know that one that they shake like that? Why? The epilepsy was quiet. But when he journeyed round, the people say he won't marry. They brought the things they had hidden out. So warfare started just because he what? You will fight many fights. This matter is far from emotion. Oh, mama, let her come. Me too, I had the Sun City perspective too. I would just say, my God, I'm here. 7 days after our wedding, they wanted to kill my wife. Even if you are a preacher and your wife falls after 7 days, they will say you touched, you carry things. So I just did all of that so that we can come into reality. You have been in Sun City. That's why it's easy for you to be deceived. You are in the wrong. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says this. Are the generations of what? Of the heavens and the earth in the day. So let me leave the generation thing. Or okay, let's not leave it. Let's go. Let's go there. No time. All right. The word used there is TOWLDA. Tolda. It means descendant. It means betting, projection, expression, descendant. Now, if somebody is my descendant, oh my, are you here? We are still doing Bible study just to get the tools for this journey. If somebody is my descendant, it means that there is a parent generation and then there's a descending generation. We are talking about two personalities here for there to be a generation of descent. That's why the word generation was used. Because the issue we are talking about here is descendant. Whereas the heavens and the earth were created the same time, the same day. Are you with me? One is senior to the other one. In fact, one came out of one. So the earth is a descendant to the heavens. Now, are you still with me now? So the Bible reveals in the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that the heavens has three layers, which I said is reflective of our tripartite composition being spirit, soul, and body. Please, I give you a challenge this night. There is something we believe. That's what I was taught in Bible school, but I've not found it in the Bible. It might be because of the limitation of my own Bible study. Alright? So you can help me this night and maybe bring me into balance if my perspective is wrong. Okay? On this matter. I don't claim to be an authority here. I'm just following the little light I saw, which is contrary to what I was taught. For instance, we were taught in Bible school that man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. You can't find that in the Bible. I'd like you to go and check it critically. Let me give you a little flashes that will help you. Alright? But I said, remember I said that. If you come up tomorrow with a perspective that is more balanced than this. That's what we do in the school of Tyrannus. No one is an authority. In the writings of God, no one can claim to be such an authority that his own perspective and position cannot be annulled by higher truth. Okay? So that allowance should be there just in case you are confronted with meticulous coalitions of biblical truth drawn from different authors of the Bible. This is what I discovered in my own perspective. You are open to studying this night to see if we can get a more balanced position. You cannot prove it from that book that man is a spirit. He has a soul and he dwells in the body. But you can prove from that book that man is tripartite, spirit, soul, and body. For the Bible says there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Why didn't he say there is... You know, when the Bible says there is a spirit in man, that's not all that man is. But in man, oh, there is what? The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. In the book of Thessalonians, I guess 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, God will sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. So God's perspective of holy is spirit, soul, and body. Meanwhile, there's a doctrine in the body of Christ now that says, because we are spirits who have souls and dwell in the body, what you do with your body doesn't matter. So you can fornicate. That's not you. That's the body. It doesn't matter what you do with your body. Let me stop there. Something. I know. Amen. Glory to God. And the daughters of many people have fallen prey that the Holy Ghost had to leave. So man is tripartite according to the scripture. Because that particular doctrine that messenger of God began to teach is predicated on that false perspective, which is not captured by scripture. If you just be diligent and then run a study. Because the reason why we are spirit, soul, and body is to reflect the three dimensions of the heavens. Now the Bible makes us to understand, oh my Jesus, we don't have time. Oh God, oh God, oh God. You see, he said that the heavens and the earth they were created in that day. So they were formulated the same time, but one is a descendant of another one. The earth is derivative of the heaven. Meanwhile, in this heaven of which we speak, there are layers. The first layer is called the first heaven. Now the first heaven, I thought, because theologians taught us, they said that the first heaven was the atmospheric heavens. I have said that before. But in my current studies, when I went last week, this week, I found out that my perspective, I learned it from the theologians, is not captured by scripture. The ionosphere, the lithosphere, and the atmosphere, that was what I said that the first heaven was before. But it's not true. That is geography. Meanwhile, the theologians also said that the planetary heavens is the second heavens, where there's Pluto, Jupiter. No, that's not it. Do you have an oven? And you have switched it. The temperature inside, is it the temperature? Is it room temperature? See, the heavens, those are spirit corridors. And in this reality called earth, are you with me? You are not here. In this reality called earth, the spiritual corridor around earth is what is called the first heaven. If it's too difficult for you to understand, you see, when a woman gives birth, the child is still locked onto her umbilical cord. Is that true? The reality of that child is influenced by that umbilical cord as long as it's still connected. The child becomes dissociated and independent when the connection is broken. Now, what I'm trying to make you understand is that there's a connection between the atmospheric corridor called first heaven with this earth. And every form of manipulation that influences this earth must come from that corridor. Are you still with me? Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. You are giving permission for interference from that dimension. Now, it happens to be by matter of jurisdiction, because we need, from what I discovered last week, we need to do Bible study. I will come back again. Yes, I have to come back because I found out something that we didn't know before. A lot of us have suffered because of that lack of knowledge. I found something pertaining to spiritual warfare that we did not treat very well. And we all have suffered for it. And so we have to correct it. Alright? Now listen to me. So that spiritual corridor that houses this earth, that made them use that word, generation. Everything that is obtainable here is a projection of that realm. Then there's a second heavens. You see, it's second heavens because it is in another dimension in the supernatural. The first heavens is attached to earth, manipulates earth, directly linked with earth. Meanwhile, the Bible says the heavens, even the heavens of heavens. You know what that scripture means? The third heavens. The heavens, then is now, yes, the heavens, I'm referring to heavens, but my emphasis is actually the heavens of heavens. That's the third heavens. He said it belongs to God. So the heavens, even the heavens of heavens, belongs to God. That means that the heavens is actually God's jurisdiction. But the earth has been given unto what? The Son of Solomon. Now, that earth mentioned there also includes the atmospheric heaven, the spiritual heaven that is attached to the earth realm, which is the basis of the sustenance of the earth realm and the manipulation of the earth realm. That is also part of our jurisdiction. But the second heaven and the third heavens
is under God's jurisdiction. Are you with me? Now, if me, a man, I want to fight a being that is in the second heaven, I've lost my ground of jurisdiction. We'll do that next week. I'll come back. And you are exposed to a lot of things. You don't have coverage on that level because you are operating within the jurisdiction of another personality. Just like if I come now and I want you to do something and I now start manipulating you, use words, I threaten you more, I've gone beyond my jurisdiction. Because if you check critically, when the scope of man's dominion was mentioned, the creatures that he had dominion over are all creatures that are on all fours. So I don't have dominion over you. So if I want you to do something and I cannot convince you to do it, I go to pray to the Father of all spirits that has the sole right to manipulate you, then he will do the job. And that's why you see in times of what I'll show you examples, he said, concerning this matter, Lord. He went to who? The Lord. To manipulate another man so that he will agree to do something. These guys understood the protocol of the realm. They knew it critically and they held to it. Have you studied Jesus very well? Jesus never in all of his ministry rebuked a prince that is in the spiritual realm. That prince in the spiritual realm has jurisdiction. He has a right to be there because of certain things that are happening in this city. There are principalities that have been allowed to function. They have been given a measure and a season to operate on the account of our rebellion against God. Boko Haram cannot be killed instantly. We created that beast with many years of disobedience. Don't you think so? Let me stop. See, but you see, our jurisdiction, Jesus mentioned it. He said that you can trample upon snakes and scorpions. Yes. He gave us our scope. So when there's witchcraft, which is the priesthood that is established on earth to facilitate the will of some spirits in the second heavens. Alright? When that priesthood begins to operate, it is within my jurisdiction. I can do what? When sorcery begins to operate, it is a priesthood that is established to facilitate the intentions of principalities in the second heavens. Your principalities, be there. Baba will help you. But this one operating here now. Hey, Malakobo. You understand it? Now, I had to do that. Because what that scripture is indicating is that we need to take due reference to the spiritual corridor that embodies the ether in this matter. So after the physical story was said, second day God did this, third day he did this, then a meticulous narrative was given to include the spiritual realities that were involved in this matter and the protocol that was introduced because of that reality. Okay. You see, I'm afraid of that time. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. And in the day that God made the earth and the heavens, then a different piece was told. There was an imbalance in the ecosystem. That's when the Bible says every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. There was an imbalance, and God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now there was a need. Where was the need? On earth. He created a being that could operate within the jurisdiction of where? Of earth, to fix the issues of earth. You get that? Form man out of the dust of the ground. And you see, it happens to be that in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26,
Male and female, man was already created on the same day, spiritually. And they were existing as seeds of eternity. That was why the book of Jeremiah said, before I formed thee in the womb I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. He was already separated unto that task that was written in the scripts of eternity concerning him. He was held back into the spirit realm because he didn't have the license to operate on earth. And the license to operate on earth was what the Lord God came to do, which is to create a suit of earth that he could release that spirit into. So that spirit was now trapped here to become the dominion of this realm. As at any point in time where that suit is no longer in alignment with its content, there's a transfer of services. You don't stop existing, but you cannot operate here. So all those people that say they saw their father after, no. Services have been transferred. In fact, you are not with me. I would have gone further, but you are lost. Another thing you should go and check. Check it well before tomorrow. If there's any correction, we'll make it. When a man dies, he doesn't go to heaven. No man goes up. When he dies, when his services are transferred from here, he goes to the place of waiting. And that is down. That down is not the geography you learned in BSU. It is spiritual geography. In the spirit realm, only the compass of the spirit can trace where down is. Okay, let me explain more. We are the equator now. And because of gravity, all right, with acceleration 9.8 meter per second, all right, we are drawn to the surface of the earth because of the operation of gravity. So somebody that's in South Africa who is close to one of the poles is drawn towards the surface of the earth. Somebody in Antarctica close to the poles is what? Drawn because of gravity. Now if that person says hell beneath and he points down, and we at the equator say hell beneath, we point down. The man in South Africa say hell beneath. Obviously we are not pointing in the same direction. You will figure out that after a while. So when the Bible says hell is beneath, is spiritual geography. Just like when God says Jesus is at the right hand of God, he doesn't mean here. Oh, somebody say, hey, okay, all the while say Jesus is Jesus. Okay, let me please, because of the shout, the sister shouted, let me help her. When you hear that Jesus is at the right hand of God, that is kingdom language. And for you to be at the right hand of God, it means that you have been given the highest honor in God's kingdom. It's on the strength of him being at the right hand of God. One of the accessories that is attached to that level of honor in the kingdom of God is that his name was adopted. A name was given. And on the strength of his name, that's one of the things that evolve, one of the things that happen. Him being honored with the highest honor that there is in the kingdom of God. One of the things is that his name gained universal authority. In heaven, on earth, beneath the earth. Notice that when... Let's leave it. Alright? Another thing is that he became the administrator of the purposes of God. God, the Father, can do nothing without his office. And that's why the Bible says it is through Christ. How are we saved? By faith. By grace, through faith. We are saved through Christ so that no man can boast. God cannot effect anything without that office. It's one of the honors that he got on the account, and that office was vacant before he ascended to the heavens. Are you with me? That was why nobody could be saved until that office was occupied. So when Peter descended, he said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Those are two descriptions of his reality. Being the Christ was with reference to the office Being the Son of the living God, with reference to his person, as a Son of God is the definition of God. You understand that? God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. God was defined in the incarnation. I don't want to press on that. There are many things that he is on the account of the fact that he's the Son of God, the projection of God. Okay? But as the Christ, that's an office, that's his ministry. The administrator of the purpose of God. That was the throne that he went to inherit in the heavens. And the background for all of this is Psalm 110, verse 1 to 4. That's where it was prophesied. Are you with me now? So even though Peter identified him as the Christ, the chosen one, the Messiah, he never entered into the office of the Christ until the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was when he entered into that office. He was coronated into it in heaven. And the Holy Spirit that manifested upon the face of the earth was a proof that at this time, now, he is the Christ. You get that? Now, come with me. Quickly. Meanwhile, you need to also know that in eternity past, somebody campaigned for that throne. The name of that person is Lucifer. He carried out a campaign. In fact, he won votes among angels, 1/3 of them, in that campaign to inherit that throne. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He said that he will assume the throne that is in Zion. Zion is the administrative headquarters of God. The Bible talks about Mount Zion, size of the northern city of the great king. That's where he operates from. And he desired and coveted a throne in Zion that was more exalted than his own. It was the throne of the Christ he coveted. But that was not his destiny. It means he left his first estate to desire an estate that was not his destiny. That was the parable and the story, the prophetic story that Isaiah told about the fall of this great archangel. Are you still following? Now, you see, I had to talk about the spiritual corridor. We'll do that next week. We'll talk about spiritual warfare. You have great power, but most of us, because of ignorance, we have not wielded it well. We have wielded it out of course. And many of us have been struck. Some fell. Some were struck with diverse things. It's not because we are not powerful, but because we didn't follow the protocol. There is jurisdiction matters that affect this thing. And we did not see to it properly. And so the devil, he came back and he struck. He found us. But we'll correct that error. And we'll march again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this was the background. And then my emphasis now will now be Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15 to 18. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we see that God sanctifies a theater for his activity. Have you ever gone to a theater? A theater, the stage is lit, not too different from what we have here. Whereas we may not be able to see the face of the person that is sitting at angle 90 there. But nothing in the theater is hidden because it's a stage of performance. In the book of Genesis, God sanctified and consecrated a theater. And the name of that theater is called Eden, the garden. So that all attention will be focused on the events. Focus on the play. Focus on the activities that will transpire on that stage. God consecrated it. In fact, he gave it some decoration. Even the way we decorate our own, he did that. I studied my Bible. You are also subject to, this one is subject to Bible study. I don't claim to be an authority in these matters. But when I studied scripture, I found out that in heaven, I could only see one river. One. For the Bible says there is a river. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. It happens to be that it's still that one fountain that God activated in Eden. But that one fountain and branched into four streams. One fountain. Have you ever read your Bible? When Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow fountains," but it's coming from one river. Now, in order for God to decorate this stage, he put a river there. He branched into four heads. That's decorative accessory. Jesus. Pison, Gison, Euphrates, and Hedicke. He created. There's a stage he's trying to develop. And in the book of Genesis, the purpose of a river is not for drinking. It's for revealing. The things that are in the ground in that territory is that river that will erode it. He said in that land there was gold. Land of Havilah. This river encompassed it round about and revealed its content. You know you have gifts inside, except you activate that river. It will not erode enough for it to come out. It will be buried. We need erosion for some things to come to light. The Bible says it doesn't appear what we will be. It's not obvious. But when something happens, you'll be like him. You carry his image, but it's not obvious. You are coated with something that deceives you. And because of that, your estimation of yourself is belittled. We need the river to reveal that which is hidden within the soil of our heart that was buried by the power of redemption. And when it springs forth, you will realize that what you were afraid of was actually afraid of you. Please help me tell your neighbor, I will not retreat again. I fought before and I ran away when the fury of the enemy was kindled. But there is a river. There is a river. Hallelujah. There is a river. How I wish we could stop there. There's a fountain. It flows. That's the testimony that was spoken about in the book of John, chapter 4. I wish we could just stop there. The river. And it flowed through that stage that God has sanctified. Because some activity will take place there. And it needs to go down on record. This activity must go down in time. Stories of it will be told across nations and generations. Time will be too little to discuss it. I've consecrated a stage. Hallelujah. Oh, we have missed something in our Bible study. I became too excited. Put a full stop there. No, come on. Let's go back in time. Romans chapter 1. I am okay, Malinoma. Mandaloke Masina. I tried yesterday to come here. When I had bought the ticket to 6 a.m., 6:05, that's when I would have been up. Landed Abuja and then started. Then they now say, they are coming from Abuja to inspect your side. Hey! I died. Jesus. It was not the money of the ticket that was my burden. He sent me to come. That's why we are rushing. You know, you go for some meetings, you were not sent. But so you can gather the crumbs of the past escapade and lunch and bask in his presence. But when he sends you, it's different. And the people from Abuja now started wasting time. I was not there. They said, okay, let's see this thing. Hey. I was dying. It's there now. By the time they finished, it was 2:30. To move from 12:30. To move from there to my house, 2:30. From there to the airport, 5:00. Well, you know, Lagos is a world. From here to the library, is 45 minutes. and on Friday everybody is traveling. Sometimes they hold up, you just feel that there's a demon that blocked the place. So as you are going, you have to pray in tongues for clearance. So I was in Abuja by 7:45. That was not a good time to start. Meanwhile, you had finished. I died yesterday. But out of that, those ashes, let a new day break forth. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, scripture makes a statement that is very deep. Because that's the assignment I wanted to give. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Then verse 20 now speaks more plainly. Said the invincible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Someone say clearly. Yes. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why did God sponsor the natural creation? Natural creation was supposed to be an expression, was supposed to be an evangelist. The greatest evangelist that speaks about the dimensions of God and the things that are in the invisible creation. So the earth, that's why it was called the descendant, because it is a testimony, a projection from the realm of the unseen that testifies about every item of the unseen. The Bible even said that in the natural creation there is a metaphor that even illustrates the eternal power of God and his Godhead. There is nothing that is not on display in seen creation. And the reason why God did that was so that no human being can travel this corridor with an excuse that I didn't stumble on God. Because when you drew breath, you drew something that you could not understand. Hallelujah. In fact, in the Greek, the same word for spirit, the same word for breath. Breath you cannot see. Its impact you can feel. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof. You cannot tell from whence it comes or where it goes. So is everyone, the Bible says, that is born of the Spirit. It is not the gift of a preacher. It is not only associated with prophets. He said the entire clan is like this. And he illustrated all of that with what? The wind. Do you realize when the principality himself came, Jesus Christ the righteous, he could speak about deep things by using little examples, and he called it parables. Because even the eternal power of God and his Godhead are clearly seen in the things that are made. When he was asked to give a sign, what did he do? He said, no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonas. He was talking about... Meanwhile, the Bible said the devil didn't know that Jesus was to be crucified. Meanwhile, he said it. I give you the sign of Jonas the prophet. Meanwhile, Jonah was that prophet that thought that he was rebelling against God by using his own will. But his disobedience provided a pattern that still illustrated something that Jesus would make reference to. Who told you that your will is that strong? Let me stop there. Somebody is saying, "Guy, this preacher wants to make us small, bro." You are small. I don't know how. I need to draw strength from my breathing, from my liver, from my intestine to tell you that what? You are small. You are small. How I wish we could go further. It's a corridor. It's not directly related. It's a corridor. Now, you see, by design. You know, Hannah, she sang. While she prayed in thanksgiving, the spirit of prophecy came upon her and she began to utter things. There is none holy as what? The Lord. The sin of the principalities. Anna acknowledged what the principalities did not acknowledge. Because the princes were given thrones to rule. And they basked in light. Lucifer was the light bearer. He basked in light. In fact, he walked so close among the angels. He was the highest ranking among cherubims. Walked so closely to God. There were few angels that were angels of the altar or angels of his presence. Gabriel was one of them. Because when he introduced himself to Zechariah, he said, "I am what? That's my designation. There are few of us that stand. But me, I stand. And I come to speak with mortal man. And you have no faith. It is a miracle for me to appear to you." Do you know how many gates, how many corridors had to be defied? How many principalities had to be displaced for Gabriel? I am what? If you check the entire heaven, you never find the one that bears this name. It is all mine. I am what? Gabriel. And I derive my authority from where I stand. Lucifer was one of those angels. His was the coal of fire. He walked up and down and to and fro in the midst of the coals of fire. That was the coal that purified him. And then he gave off light like a star. That was where he got the nickname Lucifer, the light bearer. He bore light in his vessel. He was sanctified and purified by the coals of the corridors of Zion. And a time came, he never knew that glory, that light he was shedding was not his light. It was a reflection of day one. That's why the principalities did not say there is none holy like the Lord. That's why they fell. They never said there's none besides him. They never knew that their thrones were reflections, testimonies, images of the throne hidden by light. They were the expressions of that throne, and they were supposed to cast their crown. That in this kingdom, we do not have the right to wear crowns of authority, because the one whose throne is already exalted, it is him that also make reference to. Why and how art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That was a sin of the principalities. They did not acknowledge that there was no. See, the spirit corridor is dreadful. I finished my Bible study time, and we have not been able to open this thing. I was thinking today morning we'll just do teaching from 8 to 5. Then you take coffee and then rest and consider your heart with soberness. Principalities felt, because Lucifer, when he glowed, he felt there was none as beautiful. Even God himself acknowledged that he was perfect in beauty. God decided to do a handiwork, something that had no blemish, no wrinkle, that was excellent in perfection. And he crafted this one, built and forged melody into his framework. He was walking worship. As he moved through the corridor, sound came from his vessel. He was the anointed cherub, the Bible says. He could peep into the heart of God and know his mood and release worship that was due him. But he forgot that his throne was just a replica, an illustration. And that was why when God began to descend into Israel in the days of Uzziah, the throne of Uzziah was supposed to be a reflection of the dimensions of God. Every king of Israel was supposed to illustrate God, just like angels illustrated him. But Uzziah I hope you know that after David and Solomon was Uzziah in achievement. He brought irrigation to the desert. In his time, Israel became a mighty world power. Nations came to learn from him at his feet. But the throne became bogus. It was no longer reflective of the ultimate throne. And so it was only Isaiah that knew the reason why Uzziah died. Because what came and killed Uzziah came from the temple. He was doing worship there, and he saw something. And that the procession was endless. The Bible says his train did what? It filled. That means he kept coming and he never ended. Hey! It was at that point that even the prophet saw he was not reflecting. His tongue was the item in his life that was bogus. Hallelujah. Now, I did all of this to show you that physical Eden, there were spiritual dimensions connected to it. And that stage that was created was a stage that angels, high lords of glory, sat to watch what this man would do. Have you read in your Bible when it is written that what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? A stage was created for man. It was called the Garden of Eden. Consecrated to see what he will do with the privilege that God had put on him. Now, in manifestation of the love of God, the words that I read to you are expressions of his love. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, after this I'll shut down for tonight. We'll continue tomorrow evening. Obviously, we cannot finish the diagnosis. We can't finish it. Because we were supposed to run an anatomy. Of the voice of God. How does he speak? An anatomy. Of the voice of devils. Voice of Satan. An anatomy of the voice of man, so that we'll woman and man inclusive. This is how men speak. This is how God speaks. This is how demons speak. Because Eden still exists today. That stage is still created. There are still times when the realms conflict. And they activate your spiritual senses and sell their opinions. And then you come into the spotlight. It's as if you were transferred to Eden. That's the fate of every man that has a will. Because angels were tested. Because there were beings that had wills that were effective. So they were tested, given an opportunity. And Lucifer and his band of angels rebelled because they had a will. Because somebody will ask, why did God test man? He knew he would fail. No, every being that was so heightened and glorified in God's creation as to have a will to choose, you must be given choice. You must make choice. That's the test that you must have to pass. I need to tell you what you are today because of what you chose yesterday. I need to tell you that if you arrive at a choice, the configuration of the realm changes just because you choose. Now, you don't know how powerful it is when you see demons manipulating, witches enchanting, sorcerers divining, stargazers peeping, checking patterns and sequences, is so that they can bring deception down and make you take a wrong choice. The devil, in all his strength, cannot afflict you beyond your choice. When you see conjuring, when you see darkness really gather, it's not because they are so strong. They need you to do something wrong. At that time, you are the one in Eden. But the Bible said particularly that women are easily deceived. That's why we gathered women. He said women so strong. You know why God puts a woman under a man, the potential of the woman is more. If you allow her, the devil can use some of those potential to fly. Have you seen somebody that has a AK-47 but doesn't know how to shoot it? It's a loose cannon. He needs to go for training. The training that will almost kill him, so that he can know how the discipline to manage that facility. If you are going to expose somebody to something that is dangerous, the level of danger will determine how much of training that is required to bring the person under order and authority. If the person is going to handle something that is very grievous, then the level of discipline must be heightened. That's why God put. See, a woman is actually the joker. The joker of all life is a passage and the corridor from eternity to time. That's why when Satan wanted to do something to man, he came to the woman. When God wanted to do something to man, he came to the woman. Because that corridor must be consulted. You call it, well, let's leave it for no time to build on that. No time. Why would that great Gabriel come to Mary at such a time? That's why God put her under authority. The potentials are too much. If they are not managed under authority, they will become tools in the hands of the devil. Every time we ask ourselves, can it be done, without asking, should it be done, we are already falling. It's because of the potential. And God says that for the liberty, in order for this land to be liberated from the bondage of corruption that has crippled it, women must come back into order. But the problem is they have this tendency of being easily deceived. Let me stop there for today. That's how far the Bible study can take us. I don't want you to go home in the night. Meanwhile, I don't want to sacrifice the prayer. It's very important. Listen. We remain in bondage because sisters, women, have not been truly activated. We remain in bondage because their potentials have been gathered all together and given unto the enemy. Because of that lack of alignment, just one lack of alignment. Now, notice that Adam was not deceived. He was awake and aware, but she used one of her powers. You know, there's a reason why God said that his people should not marry unbelievers. Oh, you are not with me. The reason is because a woman can influence a man. We not hide the lie. If a woman wants to frustrate you, only Jehovah. Now, I am afraid when a man is having problem with his wife, I'm afraid. It's not because the devil has not possessed the mind. If the woman decides to work for the devil for 3 weeks, you will go down on your knees. When she yields her faculty so that the devil will minister to her, just the way you don't understand it. Just Chief Joe, as calculated as you are, you will beg. In the night, so not in the night. You will beg. When she wields that potential, a true man doesn't have business fighting with his wife. That's not how to do it. no matter how disciple the woman is, you will be the crowning disciple. Until she knows your wisdom and speaks by your voice, there will be no balance in anything you build. If you start teaching a woman how to pray, she will be weak initially. It will take her 6 years of training for her to. But when she catches you, you can now start sleeping. Sleep well. But for 6 years, you know, it takes 6 years to raise a legionnaire. To use a sword, this sword, and shield, it takes 6 years. You'll be taught the backstroke, the pierce, the strike. 6 years. For you to coordinate that sword as if it was an extension of your hand. That's the number of years required to raise a wife. All the church she went to before you got married to her is not really, is good, but it may not be helpful to your ministry. Because it was not tailored to your own case study, your own specifications. Your leadership qualities can be tested if we see your compliance with your wife. It's a proof that a leader is in you or not. But in a situation where the woman is the spiritual head of the family, a lot of things are lost. See, and even though she's strong spiritually, she will fight many things that are not her battles. 6 years to train her. But when she's up, you can go to sleep. Now I sleep. Don't say, don't pray, don't fight with principalities. I say, Pastor is come. He has lived. This is the 60. See, you don't train with shouting. Sometimes you train with silence. Don't talk. Just keep doing the right thing. Keep doing it. One day will come, she will not learn the pattern like this. And when she starts, you will leave. Shut down everything and focus. Don't do it as if you are consciously teaching her. Hey, you will have a problem. Build it into parables, dark speeches, outings. They understand that time. Because their problem is security. They want security. Don't come as a teacher. They will not learn. Come as. As if you are a jester. You must be very creative to be a husband. Very creative. Crack jokes. Hey, study. Go to the internet. And then, a time will come, she will believe. Just like it's easy for her to be deceived, it's very hard for her to learn. What I'm telling you, the great one taught me. But when they learn, you will forget. They will save you. Have you not read in the Bible, a king can be very strong, but his weakness is because he's too strong. The stronger he is like that in himself, the easier it is for a woman to just do him like that. He's down. You can't survive it. But if a man is strong in God, that's when he cannot be manipulated. But if he's strong in himself, give him time. He's told, and the woman that will bring him down is small. Are you still with me? There's a journey we need to go into. But I don't want to take your time much more than I've been given. Because this women conference, they invited me, so I want to behave well. If it's another platform, we'll now. There are many, some of us, you have never used your wings. Never. When the Bible said that you will mount up with wings like eagles. You have never generated the air that your wing can stand on. You don't know why God gave you a womb. The only time you groan is when you are giving birth. But the truth is, a lot of your life depends on groaning. That is your destiny. Whereas God calls men pillars, something that is in plain view. He calls the women, the daughters, calls them the cornerstones. They are hidden from plain sight, but they are the strength and defense mechanism of the system. But they must be taught to play that role. A man that is not very consistent cannot raise a woman. You are set in right, like a block, like cement that has set. You will learn more from your lifestyle than from what you see. Just keep doing it. Just keep. When you are praying the night, she sleeps. Allow her. Don't force. Just let her hear your voice. Pray loud enough for her to know that she is. See, your teaching aids are different. Not, hey, I'm head. If you have ever come under the temptation to say you are the head, you have lost your status. It will take you many months to recover your value. You went into the dust in that statement you made. I know some men that are married here don't like what I'm saying. But there is a stage in Eden. Notice that Adam was not deceived, though. He was awake, aware. How did he go down? And that's for another time. A man can be strong like this, eh? He's nearer to the ground than you know. His face is not an expression of his strength. I am a man. There is a strength within you. That if it doesn't come out, our bondages will continue. That is the strength that God calls for this weekend. He calls for that strength. And because the devil knows the kind of strength that is at work, he brings so much problems and hardship. So much hardship. So you are distracted, and then you begin to use your strength in an inverted form. And then your mouth, which is supposed to be an instrument of expressing the groaning inside, is now perverted. Becomes an instrument of gossip and backbite. And there's so much grace to backbite. For 8 hours, we traveled in a vehicle. On an 8-hour journey, there was a woman at the back. She spoke for 8 hours. Spoke about papi water, spoke about palm wine. Spoke about, oh my God, she was just speaking. I said, behold, sent what is perverted. Even me that I'm a preacher, eh? I'm called to preach. I don't talk naturally. That's why I need to pray. Because I'm not, I was born a stammerer, for God's sake. This woman spoke for 8 hours. Spoke about it. Oh my God. Ah, when they are selling something, corn. Hey, she has. Oh, and if you venture, try to bring order, she will look at something in your body that is not aligned. And when the entire boss disarmed her, eh? And she kept quiet for 5 minutes. She was speaking with her body. She was not talking about it. The body was speaking more than. So we had to release the chains. What strength? What strength? She wielded that strength for 8 hours. But when you want to teach her how to kneel and say, who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. No, she will sleep there. If you force her, she will say you are wicked. So just make sure she's hearing that. For 5 years, a day will come. She will ask herself, what have I been doing? When you want to force her, you don't know God. You are fake. You are counterfeit. You are wicked. You are bad. I found out that we are not matured in the church. I've changed your. The way I preach now, I don't assume that anybody knows anything. I have seen thieves in church pastoral team. Millions. So we are back. Hallelujah. Strange things. The one that will make you fear. There is a female receptionist. The 5 minutes they left this young man with her, he had touched something. No. 5 minutes of entrance. He just, how did he configure those walls and convince that lady in 5 minutes? And they caught him. This is a great preacher. But in 5 minutes, he had slain a woman. Now, we no longer assume now. Because this is end time. If you force her, she will rebel against prayer all her life. And she will do it deliberately for you to know. And she's not interested. Only the great one can do that work. So talk to the great one. But make sure she's hearing. One day she will wake up. And the Lord will show her. What have I been doing? And then when that resolve, it takes like 6 years to get there. When that resolve comes, no wizard, no witch. If she's resolved and she stretches that wing, then go to sleep. As the wing is coming out, stop your prayer. Go and sleep. Till daybreak, she'll be there for the rest of your life. You know, if you don't invest, if you don't sow somewhere, don't think you will reap. You will sow for 6 years. Have you used your wings before? Ask the next lady close to you. When was the last time you mounted? Don't be afraid, bro. Ask her. When was the last time you mounted up? Your hairdo is wonderful. I can see it. You look great. But when was the last time you mounted up with wings? I am Osima Tabolama. If you are a woman here, lift your right hand. I will follow you. I will follow you. Oh God, I will follow you. I will follow you. Oh God, oh my God, I will follow you. I will follow you. Tell him that and make it a prayer. There are many things that seek to draw your attention. I will follow you. I will follow you. Hey, mama, so ma. I will follow you. I will follow you. Let it be solemn tonight. I will follow you. Difficult for a woman to make a choice, but when you make it, nothing can change. I will follow you. I will follow you. Come in, Kaba.
I will follow you.
Oh, oh, God. And I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. And I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. Just keep following. Just keep moving on. Just keep pressing on. A time will come. A time will come. A time will come where you mount up beyond your current troubles.
beyond your challenges and your circumstances. I will follow you. Why did you stop? You were doing well, moving well. Suddenly, you were deceived. And I will follow you.
I will follow you. I will follow
you. You can mount up with wings again. And run and not be weary. You can walk and not think. Do not allow anything suggest to you that you should slow down. It's time to arise. I will follow you.
I will follow you.
If you can keep on in the motion, God will meet you halfway through. He will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner man. He will cause a shout to come out of your belly. God is set to do something new in your life.
I
will follow you.
Follow you.
I will follow you, Lord. Oh, God. And I will follow you, Lord.
I will
follow you.
Follow you,
Lord. I will follow you. Follow you, Lord God.
Come and give us them up.
Rakombila kila masoka, akaila masanda baboria bakarato.
I will follow you.
God did not say that you should stop. If you stopped, it was worse because you were deceived.
I'm all about it.
Mo Valana Skima. Niobere Skiva Sanda Baboria Hikabozaba. Miros Kamaba Hekonda Bre Akane Moria Ama Sanda Boko. Sibe Ekobe Sominali Kama. Samonda Akaila Mamara. Mekaseno Bris Kamate. If only you will follow. Many things happen and you find out that you stop moving. Somebody left your life, you stop moving. No money, you stop moving. Everything seems to be able to influence you from moving on with Him. In the journey. Many years ago, you said you were an evangelist. Where did you stop?
Follow, 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 follow you.
Beside you, behind you, just put one hand upon that woman, upon that sister.
Hola, mama, see me.
Either on her back or on her side.
Mama, so many, I'm all for Bali. Yeah, mama. So, Bali, mama. So, my side, I'm all oh, la mama shika mabo. Oh, oh, la mama la kaya masanto benayo. Oh, sima. Sainamo, sainame, sainamake, mama. Sainamo, sainame.
Name.
the name of Jesus. God will conduct his power through that hand that is making contact with that sister. Yes, yes, it's already opening up. It's opening up already. It's opening up already. It's opening up already. It's opening up right now. It's opening up. It's opening up. It's, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's opening up. Oh yeah, no mercy, man. He will conduct his grace. He will conduct his strength through your hand. Thank you, Lord. Our prayer, voice of our mouth, and we ask for strength. We ask for strength in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, there are some yokes that God is removing. Some resistance that have stood in the way of people. Father, let the resistance be taken. Let it be taken right now. Let it be taken. Taking away some resistance now. Ah, listen. I'm seeing strange things. Lord Jesus. There's a walk, he's walking. My God. Okay, let's pray and just. Father, in the name of Jesus. My God. You said that in this meeting today, that there is a lady that darkness has traced for long, that you will set free. And so, Lord, I ask that from my left hand to my right hand, wherever that lady is sitting today, let your spirit be released. Now, he's coming. Just keep quiet and allow him to do his work. Let your spirit be released.
Let your spirit be released upon that lady. Let your anointing begin to come upon that lady. That one that the devil has traced for a long time. Let your hand begin to descend, begin to descend, begin to descend, begin to descend upon that lady. Let that yoke be broken. Thank you, Father. Now, can you be foolish enough to do this? Just put your right hand on your head, please. Actually, I can see that there are three ladies. Father, let this work happen simultaneously in the life of these three ladies right now. That those yokes, that thing that the devil is afraid of, that thing that has attracted this lady to this kind of attacks from the kingdom of darkness, you please remove it tonight. He's working. There are three of them. The hand will begin to walk in a strong way. You will not be able to resist it. There are three of them. There are three of them. It's coming. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. There are three of them. Please help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to see three of them. There are three of them. The service will not be complete if we do not attend. I'm just following instructions. There are many things we are going to be doing tomorrow. I will follow you. 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 Now call your sister for me. I will follow you. I will follow you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Come, 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 come. I've not finished. Hold this one. I will follow you. I will
Listen. Listen. I'm seeing somebody that the devil puts a yoke on one side of your head. And when he puts that yoke, so much weight on your head. One side. Let me see. So much weight. Now put your hand that side now. Bala ore. Like potima sola. Aha. You see that? Thank God. Thank God. You didn't see it when it left. That's gone. Lord, open her eyes to be seeing things. Okay, that pain is going, it's lifting now. Father, I cast that pain to the roots. I command that load, remove. Now, we'll have time to do a lot of things tomorrow, but we'll stop here today. You may be seated, okay?